Glad you're here this evening. Study the Word of God. Apologize for not getting this to Brian a little bit earlier, just right before services. Just happened to check a text, and June Moore had sent a text in the last hour and said, good news, talk to the doctor. And Bill woke up and is starting a rally. He has some kind of staph infection. The antibiotics are starting to work. They are doing all kind of tests, trying to track down all his problems. They still want him to sleep today. If and when he recovers enough, they plan to repair his left hip fracture. So we're thankful to hear that good news. Of course, keep him in your prayers. A father cries in agony. He commits adultery with a woman, and he suffers directly in the death of his son. And he said, would that I have died instead of you. Regret. A thief has remorse that he has betrayed a friend, leading to his death, and he decides to commit suicide. Regret that ends in death. Of course, we know as Judas and David, those examples. We think about a girl who's raised by Christians, decides to marry an unbeliever. Think about God give us Christian homes and had all that good training. Marries an unbeliever, gets divorced, and is now suffering from loneliness, despair, and discouragement, giving up the faith. We could talk about many examples that, as we look upon our life, likely regretting decisions that we have made in the past. We wish we could turn back the clock, but we can't do that. It's too late. We need to consider what the Bible says. You can't change what has happened in the past, but you can change your regrets into repentance. And also your likely condemnation and without repentance, you can turn that into redemption because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for us. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. This evening, we want to study the regrets that people have this evening. First of all, as I think about my life, you know, I wish that I would have obeyed sooner. I mean, you think about individuals maybe that thought they have done the right thing and they didn't examine themselves very well and they did it because of peer pressure. Well, I obeyed the gospel because of peer pressure. We know what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. But to reflect upon that, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, Solomon said by inspiration, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure, I have no delight in them. You see, concerning the regret, concerning I should have remembered my Creator in the days of my youth, but I didn't do it before the evil days had come. Basically, the difficult times had come. In Acts chapter 17, we recognize that God has given us a purpose to glorify and honor Him. We recognize concerning the Gentiles weren't like the Jews in the fact that the Jews had the opportunity to know God's will. And the Gentiles didn't have the laws, you think, under the Old Covenant. In Acts chapter 17, God wanted everyone on the face of the earth, in verse 27, that they would seek God, and perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also His children. When we think about the attitude and mindset of God, that God desires that everyone seek after Him, to glorify and honor Him, and when that doesn't happen, And we know better, and we know what we should be doing, because we still have a conscience, we have guilt, and we have regret. And that is unless we have seared our conscience to whereby we don't feel the pain and shame of sin any longer. We think about, as time goes on, the more difficult it is to obey. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul reminded the brethren here at Ephesus concerning their past life, which had become a habit in their past life. He said in verse chapter 2, verse 1, "You are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the Spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." We're by nature children of wrath. Not that we were born in sin, but here through a long period of habit, practicing sin, here it became second nature. If you think about the word second nature, it's become second nature because I built up a habit of sinful, the sinful lifestyle to this point. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 13, right after the Apostle Paul warned Timothy that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, basically he said it's not going to get any better, it's only going to get worse. He said, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." You think about, as if you decide to reject God, the more and more difficult it is to obey. And I think about this more and more as for those who have been raised in the church and decide, well, I want to be an atheist like this unfortunate one that we know who is in his 20s. And the whole thing is, as that continues on, it gets more and more difficult to change in order to obey. We recognize if we have given time and opportunity to obey the gospel, and hopefully that's the case with all of us, but you begin to think about all the times that you failed. Maybe back in school and you were a bad example, an ungodly example, anywhere by others that you engaged in sin with, or you just ignored sin or compromised with it in some way, that if you just would have been a Christian, that you could have been a light and maybe would have helped somebody, save somebody's soul. And I wish I would have obeyed earlier. Maybe even worse, concerning that you did harm to others. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul could have a lot of regret because of all that he had done in persecuting and trying to destroy the church. In Philippians chapter 3, he's talking in this context about attaining to the resurrection of the dead. He said, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet," in verse 13, "but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The whole thing is that as you look upon your past, there are things that you might say, "I wish I could have obeyed sooner. I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have done that." All you can do for the past is get forgiveness for it, or seek forgiveness from one that you need to repent and confess your sins to. But then all you can do after that is bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance in your life. You can't change the past. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy, it's interesting the way that he speaks to him here in verse 12. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who believe in him for eternal life. You think about the long suffering of our Lord and thinking about God's grace and mercy towards him. And what is that an example? Why is that example in there? The example is in there is that he has a pattern for those who believe in him for eternal life that would say, you know, concern their life, well, oh, I got all these regrets. And here the devil kind of using the past whereby you can't do anything any good in the future. Remember how bad you were back then? And trying to tempt you to go back into the world once again. But he could say in 1 Corinthians 15 to the Corinthian brethren, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right after he said, I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. How did it not prove vain? By the grace of God, I am what I am. We could say, I wish I would have obeyed sooner, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, right? And then he said, how is his grace toward him not in vain? He said, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, not taking credit for it, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So we can have that attitude and mindset. I wish that I obeyed sooner. No, the idea is that by the grace of God, I am what I am. Presently, I'm going to press on towards the goal. And then also, I wish that I had listened to good advice. The wonderful thing about the Bible is the blessings that come as a result of listening to wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, what is the beginning of knowledge? Where does that come from? Well, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But what is the problem? People don't have a fear of the Lord. You have a fear of the Lord? If you don't have a fear of the Lord, likely you're going to despise God's wisdom. What he said here, fools despise it. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so it begins with fearing God. You think about parents, used to hear this in the past, don't really hear much on it anymore, is that the parent put the fear of God in them. I recognize from one aspect is that maybe some fathers may have been overbearing. But hopefully in the end to respect that I fear God, and so I'm going to listen to my parents' wisdom. I respect what they say. They are living the right way. They are serving God. They're faithful. I'm going to listen to their advice. And thus, in verse 8, when he says, hear, my son, your father's instruction. God give us Christian homes, fathers who guide the household, who are true and strong. He said, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. And notice the beautiful picture God wants us to have of that in verse 9. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. We think about the beauty that comes from a physical perspective. And of course, God is trying to help us understand the figurative part of this concerning listening to your parents. Listening to the good advice that they give you. Parents aren't perfect, but generally they're going to give good advice. And so we need to listen to it. Well, we think about those. I promise we're going to get to the next verse in just a moment, but in Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6. So if you hold your place there in Ephesians chapter 6. in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Why? Why do I have to obey my parents? I don't like what they told me to do. And it might seem mean and it might not be pleasing to me. But why do I have to obey my parents? You think about those who more and more would talk about children's rights. Well, more and more you talk about children's rights, and children have the right not to be verbally or physically abused. I'm not talking about that. But here we have a generation of children whereby I shouldn't have to listen to my parents at all. But God's Word still says, you obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Not if they tell you to disobey God. He says, in the Lord. Why? For this is right. He said, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Why? Because they don't want you to have any fun, right? That's what they might say. No, so that it might be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's the point of the promise. Does that mean it's going to happen in every case? No, but generally, it's true. If you obey your parents, you're going to avoid the foolish mistakes that others your age do, like drinking and driving or other doing drugs and that sort of thing. But the problem is, you go in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, that my parents seem harsh, and so here are those kind of rough-looking characters at school, and it seems like they're having a lot of fun, and they're doing a lot of risky things, and it sounds kind of fun. I'm tired of all my chores that I have to do, and all the responsibilities of schoolwork, and all the worries about getting good grades and going to college, and so I think I might want to, you know. I might want to try just one day and just see how it goes, see how I like it. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, we shall all have one purse. And so we're going to get rich. We're going to take advantage of others. And thus we remember that bad company corrupts good morals. The Bible is still true. Here is the good morals that are taught, but we're all free moral agents and we can all make choices and decisions. Parents aren't going to always be with their children, but hopefully that the Word of God is in their heart whereby they hear these things. Immediately, alarm bells ring to whereby, ding, 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 don't do that because you could end up dead doing those foolish and sinful things. And then it'll be too late to change later on. And so, 1 Peter chapter 4, in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter says, which Jeff Gary, I think, mentioned this in the Bible class this morning. He said, the time already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. You wasted enough time doing that, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. You wasted enough time doing those things. Listen to your parents. How many have refused to listen to their parents and have had to suffer the consequences of their sins because they wanted to commit sexual immorality? And so they gave in to the temptation and now have to face an unwanted pregnancy, maybe sexually transmitted disease, maybe have to face the decision to cover up that sin with an abortion, killing the child. And if you don't think that this happens among Christians, I'm sorry to say you're naive, as I reflect on those Christians who have had abortions. You think about concerning a divorce and poverty and even death. I wish I had listened to good advice. Proverbs chapter 1. Notice the way Solomon writes by inspiration. We read earlier in the chapter. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to have a good time, and everything's going to work out just fine. In Proverbs, wisdom is shouting in the streets. Who is listening to wisdom? The wisdom from God's Word. We'll go down to verse 23. It's like wisdom is speaking here. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes, because it's coming. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, you think of a storm, you think about a tornado. This is what's going to happen in your life. These storms are going to come in your life. When distress and anguish come upon you, then, oh, now I need help. Now I need help. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Why? That seems pretty mean. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. You think about those who are suffering. I wish that I had listened to good advice. I wish I would have listened. As you think about concerning as Christians and really surviving for that period of time, to understand what the Bible says, you know, we can still be transformed in our minds. When the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How? By proving what the will of God is. What is that will of God? It is good and acceptable and perfect. It'll make you godly instead of worldly. If you choose friends who are faithful Christians, then you have encouragement. They can pray for you. They can encourage you as you're finding the daily temptations of the devil. In Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 20, what the scripture says is still true. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Be thankful for good friends who will give you good advice and will strengthen your faith. As you think about concerning parents, you know, us as parents, we're thankful for good, godly examples that we have here to encourage. And hearing a word from a brother or sister in Christ, maybe somebody who's older, and you give them encouragement, they hopefully will appreciate that and be thankful for that. Thankful for the teenagers, and you're standing up for what's right and being a godly example. And that you are listening to good advice. And when you are going through difficult times, you know that you can go to our great high priest, Jesus Christ, to receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. Those who are not faithful, those who are not Christians, they don't have that help from the Lord. But you have that help and you have that encouragement. To whose advice are you listening to? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Notice he said there concerning with all your heart. But, you know, if there's kind of a doubt in our mind about this thing, you know, we might give in to that temptation. So listen to what Solomon says by inspiration. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on what? Too many times, leaning on our own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, what will he promise to do? He will direct your paths, not miraculously, but by the word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 119, verse 105, right? Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. How many times has he said, fear the Lord, and if you do that, you will turn away from evil. because you're going to be listening to God's wisdom. And so we aren't going to have to live with regret. Say, I wish that I had listened to good advice. Because you're listening to good advice. Or if you've done that in the past, think about, I'm going to listen to good advice. I'm going to be willing to receive a rebuke rather than listen to the Song of Fools. As we studied in our Bible class with Brian through Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 5. And then the last one is, I wish that I could start over again. This might be from those who are suffering directly from the consequences of their sin, reaping what they had sown, as Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8 teaches. You know, as you think about years ago, now it's almost like smoking is socially unacceptable now. It's interesting, when we went on vacation in Tennessee, I was surprised by all the smokers that were around. I didn't see too many smokers, I guess, generally around here. But you see here concerning those who are smokers wishing they would have never taken that first toke, and now they are suffering because they have lung cancer and it's hard to breathe. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. But see, concerning all the warnings that are out there, and many people have gotten the message, if not for lung cancer, my grandfather died of emphysema. Maybe as you think about that, made a difference concerning my dad never desiring to smoke, even though he was in the Navy, and I didn't either. But the whole thing is that you see those who suffer in that way, gasping for breath, and the warnings that are given there as they are agonizing over every breath. And we recognize, you know, they're saying, I wish that I could start over again. And it's too late to start over again. They've all already suffered the consequences of their sin. The drunkard has not heeded the warnings of Scripture. Solomon had said in Proverbs 23, not to look on the wine when it is red. And then he goes on to talk about the consequences of that. But now it's too late. They're suffering from cirrhosis of the liver. I wish that I could start all over again. The murderer on death row wishes that he would have never joined that gang and got involved in murder. As you think about a gospel preacher's son, gotten on with the wrong company, did drugs, committed murder, and was executed. Too late for him to start over again. I understand that there was repentance and prayer. He had been a Christian, and there was repentance in prison. He was trying to do good. But the whole thing is that here, going on death row, the adulterer wishes that he would have never looked at pornography that first time. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, the Apostle Peter speaking here in 2 Peter 2, verse 14. In the chapter on false teachers. And he mentions concerning these individuals having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, having eyes full of adultery. It all started at some point with a lustful look. At some point, and concerning those who are on death row, like Ted Bundy and maybe others, started off with pornography, which led to an evil lifestyle. I wish I could start all over again. The homosexual wishes that he would have not been deceived and dying from AIDS, as I recall an LA man who had been the picture of health, and a few years later is ravaged with AIDS. And it's an awful, awful picture. In Romans chapter 1, verse 26, when you exchange the truth of God for a lie, as so many have, in verse 26, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And here concerning knowing, here's what the Bible says. In verse 32, he mentioned that along with all these other sins, those who practice such things are worthy of death. I didn't say that. The scripture said that. I wish that I could start all over again. The gamblers we mentioned concerning the one who bought the lottery ticket had all this money and ended up committing suicide, wishing that he would never played the lottery, recognized for the love of money as the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, even talking to Christians, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with what? Much happiness? No. Many griefs. Regrets that people have. But you think about those who crucified Jesus. And you wonder, the recognition the Apostle Peter preaches that sermon, the realization that they had crucified their Messiah. I wish that I could start over again. Well, you know what? The Lord had mercy upon them. And they could start over again. And so when the Apostle Peter had preached, to those who are convicted, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, about 3,000 did. And here they could have the forgiveness of sins, and you think about the joy that was in their heart. And it's no wonder as you think about the gospel going forth, and they were enthusiastic and they were joyful and even endured through persecution because, you know what, we deserve to die. And now we can live. The Philippian jailer, when he was about to commit suicide. And the Apostle Paul, who didn't deserve to live for what he did to the church, singing hymns with Silas. The prisoners are listening. An earthquake occurs. They could all just leave and he's going to get the death penalty. Do yourself no harm. We're all here. What shall I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And he taught him the word of the Lord and then he was baptized. He and all his household. He could start over fresh. And this is the beginning of the Philippian church, along with Lydia and her household, the Philippian jailer and his household, the wonderful church at Philippi, the mercy of the Lord. Have you had any of these regrets in your life? Have you had them? If you can, if so, you can get rid of them even today, even right now through Jesus' death. You can be buried with Christ in baptism to rise and walk in newness of life. You can have a good conscience and be thankful for the long-suffering of our Lord is our salvation, as the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. If you're young, don't listen to the world. The world is screaming for you to give up your faith and to quit and become like them. Have the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Fools are despising wisdom and instruction. The way they're trying so hard to get you to change, because just the fact that you are there is a reminder, if you're being a faithful Christian, is a reminder that they're not right before God. And if they can get you to become like them, they don't have to think about changing as a result. You remember your career in the days of your youth before the evil days come, the years draw near, when you'll say, I have no pleasure in them. But if you're living for the Lord, you don't have to live with those regrets. Does that mean that you're going to be perfect? No, we're not saying perfect. But we understand concerning the big and the big things, the big scheme of things. Don't have to ever say that. I wish that I could start over again. I can think about many faithful Christians who have been that godly example. And as a result, maybe not now, but because you live the life of a Christian, maybe they obeyed the gospel later on. maybe the way you lived your life in high school, maybe not say anything now, but they might say something in 10, 20, 30 years when in high school their mom or dad might have, either one might have divorced their spouse, and they're going through difficult times and suffering, and they see your example and that you had a love and care and concern for them, and that you lived the life of a Christian, and you can help them to start over again by your example and live a long and useful life in His service. If you're older and a Christian, you can not live with regret. You can put that in the past and press on towards the goal of heaven as the Apostle Paul showed his example. You know, the rich man, as we think about that example, why is that in the Bible? How many want to be rich? And he was comforted every day, and you think, man, what? How great it would be to have servants and have all the luxuries and all of that. You know what? It's a very short time in comparison to eternity. Very, very short time, but the whole thing is that we want it now. We want everything that our parents have now, and here's the temptation of the world. We want to be rich. And here is Lazarus, who suffered tremendously. I can't possibly imagine. Dog licking his sores. And he ignored him. Saw him all the time and just totally ignored him. And yet, even though Lazarus suffered for who knows how long, he was being comforted while the rich man was in torment, just desiring a drop of water on his tongue. And it was never going to change. There's no regrets for the faithful Christian for living right and to recognize concerning whatever you have suffered in your life, God is going to wipe away every tear from your eyes. And it'll be rejoicing forever and ever. No regrets, but for those who come to the end of their life unprepared to meet God, all the regrets and all the regrets for all of eternity. Don't let it be you. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, obey the gospel today so that you can have a long and useful life in His service, and then go to heaven one day and bring others with you. Or if you need to be restored, if you recognize that you're not right with God, don't live with regrets and say, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got another day. Tomorrow I'm going to fix it. No, today. Today is the day of salvation. Fix it today by repenting and confessing your sins. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, God calls, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.